And as bad as it made him feel, it also made him want to comfort her, make sure she understood that he was hers at least as much as she was his. He leaned forward and kissed her, cupping her cheeks as he did so. She leaned in, and her eyes drifted closed, and he let his hands drift down over her throat, her shoulders, his tongue circling hers lazily, as he took his time to put her at ease. He had no clue how needing to be milked would change sensations for her, so his first caresses over her swollen tits were light, almost feathery. Her muscles spasmed, and her tits bounced under his hands, and she let out a lull that was pregnant with need as the kiss broke. "Oh, that feels good. Please, suck me. Please, I really, really need you to suck me." Part of him rebelled against the image of him suckling at her breast, but that part was buried under a strange, completely unanticipated erotic rush, as he shifted to his knees in front of her, kissing his lazy way down the slope of her breast. His lips reinforced his impression of her tautness. The flesh of her tits was swollen, and there was much less give than he'd experienced with her yesterday. The needy, now inarticulate sounds spilling past her lips were enough to convince him not to make her wait, and he took the taut crown of her nipple between his lips. He sealed them around her and began with a slow but insistent draw. Lena gasped and shivered, then spoke in a breathy moan. "Use your teeth, pull a bit, and suck harder. I think I feel something, but I need more." Terry steadied his nerves and pushed any thought not directly connected to Lena's well-being out of his mind as he took her nipple between his teeth and began to gently pull as he suckled harder. His hands roamed over her breast and then settled to either side of the one he had attached himself to as he remembered what she'd said about squeeze pressing. His fingers weren't even close to connecting as he wrapped his hands around the base of her breast and squeezed, then slowly pressed down toward himself. "Oh, that's it." She whimpered, and with startling abruptness, Terry felt a wash of rich, warm, delicious flavor over his tongue. Any embarrassment he felt about what he was doing washed away under the onslaught of absolutely amazing taste her milk brought to him. He shifted his hands up again, but there seemed no need. Each time he suckled, he got a fresh wash of liquid delight over his tongue. He'd swallowed three times before he even recognized the active hunger he had for what she was giving him. He felt her hands wrap around his shoulders and press him close. His face pillowed against her breast, and he had to tip his head a bit to the side to breathe. But he wasn't complaining. The thought never crossed his mind, in fact. So wrapped up had he become in the rich flavors flowing into his mouth from the puckered crown of her nipple. Lena eased her grip on him just a bit and cooed in pleasure. He glanced up at her and saw her head tipped back, eyes shuttered in bliss.
"Good to know I'm not the only one getting something out of this. Man, she tastes fantastic."
The surreal nature of the situation struck him then, and he started to disengage only to have the lights abruptly turned off as she squeezed him into her breast.
"No, just for a little while longer. Please, don't stop. I can't even tell you how good it feels to have my man drinking from me, boss. Please."
Given her strength, he wasn't sure he had any choice in the matter, but his embarrassment was long since gone, and he gave himself over to enjoying her flavor, suckling unabashedly as he took his fill. All the while she murmured her approval, her thick fingers ruffling through what little hair he had. Finally, he stopped again, not because the milk had stopped flowing, but because he actually felt full.
"Jeez, how much milk has she got? I'm a grown man for crying out loud."
She lowed quietly as he gently but insistently disengaged. He leaned up and kissed her, then murmured against her lips,
"If I'd known your milk tasted that good, I'd have jumped at the opportunity, Lena. Easily the most satisfying taste I've had in years."
"Better than my sister's?" she asked,
blinking rapidly as he straightened. He chuckled and said honestly,
I can't even remember what hers tastes like. Yours is that much better.
She smiled tremulously and wiped at her eyes.
Thanks, boss. That means a lot to me.
Lena shook herself and then waved him back as she leaned forward, putting herself on all fours.
You drank from the left, so start with my right, please.
He blinked, then remembered the whole reason they were here. He kicked the stool over to her right side and shifted the bucket into place. He had to actually duck under her horns to get into position. Her right breast was damp, and as he looked, he saw that she'd been leaking enough to practically soak herself all the way to her belt.
Well, I know what the towels are for at any rate.
Terry took a moment to wipe her down, and then tossed the rag over his knee as he settled and wrapped careful hands around her pendant right breast. He felt a surge of embarrassment return as he began to squeeze, but he put that in the mental garbage where it belonged, and spent the next 10 minutes learning how to effectively milk a minidress. There were mistakes, misfires, and no small amount of laughter involved in the process, but in the end, they had a bucket filled practically to the brim, and a very relieved Lena, who insisted that he wipe her down rather than do it herself.
Feeling better?
He asked, as he gently lifted her breasts to wash them all around. A single drop pearled at her right breast as he did this, and he scooped it up with a finger and licked it clean, absently. She smirked and leaned forward, kissing him as she said,
That felt awesome. Just so you know, this is usually a twice-a-day thing, morning and night.
That often?
He asked, quirking a brow at her.
That's a lot of milk.
Mmm.
Her smile broadened, then faded just a bit as she said,
Now, though, we need to get what we have into bottles so I can go get it tested and certified.
She turned and opened the door, about the same time Terry realized she was still topless. He opened his mouth to say something, but didn't get it out, before Mama Moo's voice dominated the scene.
Ooh, did he drink?
Yes, Mama. He said it was delicious.
Hee-hee, well, he's a sweet one or a smart one, maybe both. Come, dear, we need to get that bottled and I'll take you to the local clinic to get your certification. Woo, I'm so excited.
As the two women bustled about the kitchen, Shai came to the door and leaned on the frame, folding her arms under her breasts and grinning at Terry, where he sat forgotten on the stool. She lifted a finger and touched the side of her mouth as she said,
Got a little something there, boss.
Terry scrubbed his face in a sudden fit of self-consciousness as he grumbled,
Don't you start.
Shai chuckled, then glanced back at the kitchen before stepping inside the small room to crouch in front of him. She pitched her voice so that only he could hear.
So, really, how did she taste?
He blinked at her, thinking it a curious question for her to ask, but shrugged and answered honestly.
Best I've ever had. No joke.
How much have you had?
She said, smirking. She held up a hand to forestall his retort, as she added,
That's good, though. High-quality milk is supposed to be delicious. Beyond that, though, are you still sore?
Come to think of it.
He stretched, then stood and stretched again, exploring himself mentally as he moved.
No. Wow, was that because of her?
Very likely. Minitress milk is a literal restorative. Outside of a health potion, most of which use minitress milk as a base ingredient, it's the most effective thing there is for healing. That's why fresh, high-quality milk is so expensive. Presuming the certificates come in the way I think they will, and that Lena produces as much as I think she will, any money problems you might have had are over.
Terry frowned at that and said,
Not quite sure how I feel about mooching off my companions for cash. I can make my own way.
Whatever Shy might have said to that was cut off, as Lena poked her head into the room and said, "You two coming or going to stay here? Mama Moo and I need to make a few stops." Shy glanced back and said, "You go. Taking him with you will invite questions we don't want to answer." Terry took the opportunity to toss Lena's tunic at her, as he said,
"You'll probably want this."
Lena caught the shirt absently and nodded, then tilted her head back to get her horns back out, as she said,
"Figured. Back in a few hours. Mama says you can rest in the atrium out back, Shy. There's a well and a dirt floor. Only people who come and go are folks from the properties around who use the water, and there's no direct street access."
Shy's eyes lit up at that, and she rose from her crouch, catching Terry's hand as she said,
"Let's go."
He followed her out the back of the kitchen and onto a rickety porch that groaned audibly in protest as they stepped out onto it. The atrium was about 30 feet square and centered around an old stone well with a bucket and pulley system that looked like it had been yanked straight out of an old fairy tale. The walls on all four sides were stone on the first floor, Waddle and Dob on the second, and none of them looked like they'd seen any recent maintenance. The place had a hushed, almost sacred feel, even though Terry could hear the murmur of the crowds in the plaza just on the other side of the building. There were three other doors in the walls around, all fronted by similarly decrepit porches. Spots of grass were interspersed with well-worn dirt trails that all led to the well, the stones of which were covered with vines and moss. The offensive smells of the town seemed almost entirely absent here, and the serenity of the place caused Terry to let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding.
"This will do perfectly," Shy said,
as she stepped off the porch and moved to one of the grassy areas.
"I'm going to wind up looking a little different once I do this. As long as you have the mask, it's going to be very obvious that I'm not a normal tree."
"Take it back, then. I shouldn't need it here, right?"
he asked, reaching for his face, and then hesitating as he realized he hadn't a clue how to remove a mask that didn't feel like it was actually there. Shy's expression faltered just a bit. Then she looked at Terry with an almost pleading gaze and said,
"You need to keep it on. Even a chance encounter without the mask could lead to a riot if word gets out there's a template here. If you're willing, I can share the magic with you, as long as you're touching my trunk."
"Sure. Why wouldn't I be willing?"
he asked, stepping off the porch to stand next to her.
"Well, you seem nervous about my sense of you. With you wearing my mask, that connection will probably deepen the longer we stay in contact."
"So the question is, am I willing to allow that?"
His native caution flickered to life, but he quelled it ruthlessly as he said,
"Shy, I'm depending on you and Lena to look after my dumbass at least until I figure out how to make it on my own. I've got no secrets worth keeping from either of you. Having you inside my head might be weird, but you aren't unwelcome. Of course I'll hang out with you while you rest."
She seemed uncertain of his answer, but he came to where she stood in one corner of the atrium and took her in his arms.
"It's fine."
"That's the second time you've said that in the last few minutes," she murmured, gently turning him to wrap him up from behind.
Her arms slid around his sides as she fit her chin on his shoulder.
"Are you sure you're okay, T?"
"Not really, but there's nothing I can do about my afterlife being on an alien planet I don't understand. Hell, at least I can speak the language." "I'll..."
"Adjust. I know you will. That wasn't what I asked."
Terry didn't have a better answer for her. Instead, he relaxed into her arms and felt a sort of lassitude wash through him. His eyes drifted closed, and it didn't even occur to him that he was still standing as he fell asleep. Nor did he realize that had anyone been able to penetrate the magic of the dryad's mask, they'd have seen a man wrapped up and supported against the trunk of a willow tree by very suggestively shaped branches. Chapter 15. The Locutor.
Ladies and gentlemen, with a win by knockout at 1:10 in the first round, I give you your new middleweight world champion, the boss, Terry Mack.
The ref threw Terry's hand up, and the roar of the crowd drowned out everything, including his own scream of victory. Cameras flashed from everywhere, and the bright lights shone down on him in his moment of absolute triumph. He'd done it. He'd risen above his humble beginnings and taken his division by storm. He was a made man now. His fights would command seven figures. He'd have endorsements, the best of everything. All his hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears he'd shed to get here, everything had been worth it.
Finally, my dreams have come true.
Hot tears stained his cheeks as that moment seemed to stretch into eternity. Then, in the manner of all dreams, it faded. First the sound died away, and then he realized that the stands were empty. He whirled and found himself alone in the octagon. There was no announcer, no referee, no opponent, no one at all. The loneliness of that moment crashed down on him, and he collapsed to his hands and knees.
I'm alone. There's no one here. No one understands. No one came to the fight. No one.
He closed his eyes and screamed, or started to. Instead, he woke up with shocking abruptness as he felt the clamp of a wooden hand over his mouth.
Be still. Be quiet. We are not alone.
Terry opened his eyes, but did as Shai bade him, and remained still as he took in his circumstances. There were four people in the courtyard, none of whom were familiar to him. The obvious leader was a richly accoutred feline woman. Her face was almost completely cat-like, and her green eyes reflected the dim light of the moon that shone down on the courtyard. Her fur was uniformly tan, and she wore sable robes trimmed in silver, and carried a staff that looked like it had been stolen from the top of a generator in Frankenstein's lab. It was a solid rod of metal with a heavy ball at the top. Electricity arced constantly out to a 6-inch radius.
Where is he?
She asked, turning to a male lizard man with black scales and golden eyes. The man wore robes identical to the woman's, but instead of a staff, he had what looked like a small platter in his left hand, and there was some kind of curved sword sheathed at his left hip.
We searched all the surrounds and spoke to everyone nearby. No one has seen a template, mistress. The cow came from here. This is Mama Moo's business. The template is here,
the woman said, practically hissing.
Find him.
How come they can't see us? They're practically staring right at us.
Your power is amplifying the effects of my mask. They can't even see me, much less you. As long as you remain still and silent, we will not be found.
It didn't occur to him until after he'd digested her words that she wasn't actually speaking, and his eyes widened.
Shh!
The remaining two seemed to be guards, though they wore black leathers, and their faces were hidden by cloth masks, revealing only that they had muzzles.
And claws. Long claws.
The lizard man made a curt gesture, and the two guards crouched and simply leapt out of the atrium. Terry's eyes tracked them until they disappeared over the roofline on the second story, and remained wide afterward.
That's not possible. That's not fucking possible.
They are corrupted. Monster-blooded creatures from the Twilight Zone. There is not much that is impossible when such beasts are at issue. Be silent. Be still. The feline is a locutor. She holds their leashes, and will have more than two at her disposal. The lizard is an initiate. Her second in command, they are agents of the Zone. If they catch you, they will either recruit or kill you.
The feline was scanning the atrium, and her gaze seemed to pierce every shadow, but it slipped past Shai's tree as though it simply weren't there.
"What else do you know about the cow?" she said, in a low, rowling voice.
"She is newly arrived in Florence, but is known here. She contends in the underground fight games that Mama Moo emcees. She fights in the open division and often takes prize money back with her to her village on the coast. Her win-loss is 8-0. Her name is Slaina Lowe."
Underground fight games? Don't even think about it, Terry. If you compete, you will be recognized for what you are.
Are these two and their thugs here legally?
Certainly not.
What happens if they're discovered?
They'll be executed if they can be caught. Twilight Zone agents are killed on sight in all civilized cities. The problem is catching them. Locutors are extraordinarily dangerous, and their foot soldiers typically aren't voluntarily engaged at less than 3-1.
We have to let the city government know they're here.
There was a long silence as the feline hissed in frustration and waved the lizard man ahead of her as they started toward one of the doors Terry hadn't been through. He felt Shai's grip on him tighten just a little as she spoke in his mind.
"We'll do what we can. Those two are beyond us. I never would have suspected their agents would be this far south. This is bad for us. When they take word of your existence back to the zone, an expedition will be mounted to capture you."
"Then all we have to do is keep them from leaving."
"Fool! Word of your presence will go out tonight. Locutors are all easily capable of telepresence spells. She will notify her superiors, and they will continue the search. We must flee."
"Let me go."
"I can't do that, T."
"There is no time for this. Let me go or lose me."
The two were ascending the steps of the porch opposite them when Terry felt her grip on him ease. He stepped forward into a run and crossed the courtyard so quickly that the feline, trailing behind her second, had just twitched an ear and begun to turn when he caught them. His arm slid around her neck as he coiled the other behind her head. His entire upper body tensed, and he released all that power in a vicious whipsaw motion that snapped her head so violently to the side that her bones seemed to turn to jelly as she collapsed. Terry had already stepped over her and slammed a fist into the lizard man's kidney. The creature let out an agonized hiss, and Terry hit him again, and then a third time, before the man's knees gave out and he sagged, jaws open wide in a soundless scream of pain. Terry stepped around to face him and loaded up, fist cocked with the knuckle of his top finger angled out and braced by his thumb. He struck with both power and precision, crushing the lizard man's windpipe. As he choked, Terry pulled the sword out of its sheath and wound up before cutting the man's head off in a violent spray of gore. Stillness returned to the atrium as Terry looked at the rooftops, but neither of the two foot soldiers returned. He knelt and checked for a pulse in the woman. Nothing. Breaking someone's neck wasn't nearly as easy as it looked in the movies, but it could be done. And for the first time in his life, Terry had done it. Both Twilight Zone agents were dead.
"I just killed two people in cold blood."
He stood up, dropped the sword, and stared at his hands. They were steady. He felt his pulse. It was barely elevated. The lizard man corpse fell backward and tumbled down the single step of the rickety porch to lay next to the locutor's body. Her eyes were wide and staring. She still looked surprised.
"Is this who I am now? Or is this who I always was?"
"Terry?"
He started to turn, but Shai slammed into his side, wrapping him up as she sobbed,
"By the powers, Terry, that was so stupid."
Terry wrapped an arm around Shai and said nothing. His thoughts were turned inward. He'd just killed two people he didn't know on the word of someone he barely knew. At the moment, all he felt inside was empty.
"I just murdered two people."
He was staring down at the feline woman,
Staring into those blankly surprised eyes should move him somehow. Yet he felt nothing.
It shouldn't be like this. Shouldn't be this easy. I didn't want to kill them, I just wanted to knock them out and take them in, right? Why didn't I do that? Why did I kill them? Was it because I was afraid? Am I a coward? Why did I kill them?
He asked, still looking down at the corpse.
It wasn't what I wanted.
Shai was crying, but he could tell they were relieved tears. She was upset with him, thought he was reckless. But Terry felt that he had done what needed doing.
Except he hadn't meant to kill them.
Had he?
Will the others come back?
He asked, looking up at the rooftops. No, they'll go on a rampage until they're put down. They're practically mindless without these two.
How many?
There should be 10, if this is a scouting party. 12 is an auspicious number on Celestine.
A rampage. Because of me.
Terry nodded and reached down, picked up the sword again, and started walking back across the courtyard.
If they won't come back here, then I need to go out to them.
No, please, T, no.
Shai caught him around the waist and held him from behind.
I beg you, stay here with me. The city can handle them, but if they kill you, the story ends before it begins. Nothing will change.
Do you want something to change? Is that what you're really all about?
He asked, staring at nothing, as he listened to the rapid patter of her heart. He could hear it, feel it as she pressed herself close.
Yes.
Then we need to go. If we die here, we were never going to be worth any kind of story anyway. If you don't want me to die...
He shifted, turning into her embrace. He kissed her forehead and tilted her face up to his.
Then come with me. Watch my back. I know by the way you've talked about your regrets that you're not helpless. Time to prove it.
She met his gaze, and her expression of pleading faded. He wasn't quite sure what she saw in his face, but whatever it was seemed to make up her mind for her.
I will come with you then. Just a moment.
She let him go and turned to the bodies. Kneeling, she hovered her hand over the metal rod the locutor had carried. She took a deep breath, let it out, and wrapped her fingers around the shaft. Lightning played up her body, and she shuddered as it flowed over her, through her, and into the ground at her feet. Her hair lifted with the static charge, and Terry skipped away as a small bolt arced to his sword and shocked him almost hard enough to knock him off his feet. A corona of electric light played around Shai, and then it vanished as abruptly as it appeared. Shai looked unharmed.
What the hell was that?
He asked.
Are you okay?
The lightning rod has accepted me as its new master, she said as she stood, and lightning began playing around the knob at the top of the staff.
This time, though, the lightning had an unmistakable greenish tinge to it, where before it had been white.
This will make things easier.
Later, remind me to ask you about that.
She smiled, though he could tell that whatever just happened had taken something from her, and she was leaning heavily on the staff for support.
I will.
He glanced from the rod to her, then turned, tightening his grip on the curved sword he'd stolen from the lizard man. It was similar to a cutlass, but larger. The basket hilt had a knuckle-duster-style guard that was a bit too big for his fingers, but it would work in a pinch, and he didn't really know how to use the damn thing anyway. Almost as though it had been waiting for its moment, a high-pitched scream tore the relative peace of the night asunder. Hot on the heels of the desperate sound came a long, gurgling howl. Terry did his best to fix the direction in his mind, and raced for the steps into Mama Moo's tavern. They came upon the first beast only a few moments later. It had cornered a couple who looked somewhat like the folk from Lena's village, and as Terry skidded around the corner, the beast was clawing at the man, who had wrapped his woman up and turned his back on the creature in a desperate bid to protect her.
Hey, over here! I killed your master!
Come get me, you freak.
He felt like a fool as he shouted, but it did get the thing's attention, and it turned. Terry almost lost his shit in that moment. The creature's veil had been torn away, revealing a muzzle so full of teeth that the foremost of them were practically tusks, with row upon row behind. Its talons were 6 inches long at the end of every finger, and it splayed its hands and roared at him as it began its charge. The thing only made half the distance to them when it was struck by a bolt of green-tinged lightning and spasmed, fur smoking as it face-planted into the cobblestones, shattered teeth skittering across the stones from the force of the landing. Terry wasted no time. He ran forward as it started to get up, still clearly staggered by the blast, and hacked at it with all his might. His swings were artless, but the sword was sharp, and blood sprayed as it howled and tried to roll away. Terry stepped after it, sword rising and falling as though he were a butcher carving meat, and a lucky stroke caught the monster's throat, opening it down to the bone. It gurgled and sagged to the stone of the alleyway, feet still scrabbling uselessly behind it as it died. More screams were coming from the areas around, and Terry zeroed in on the next closest, then hesitated and turned to look at the two victims.
"Will you be all right?"
he asked the female, who was cradling her man in her arms. She was crying and didn't even look up as she sobbed,
"Go! Save who you can! Go!"
It was clear in that moment that though they'd spared her life, her man had given his. Tears rose in Terry's eyes, but he snarled and buried his feelings as he whirled and ran down the alley, turning and almost losing his footing as he slammed into a pile of loose garbage that had been left there. Smells assaulted him, and his vision was blurry, but he screamed a wordless challenge as he regained his feet and ran on through the shadows. The moonlight that reached through the narrow crevices between the rooftops was barely enough to light his way, but when he turned another corner, the alleyway disgorged him into a small courtyard. There was a small fountain, surrounded by a pool rimmed in by a low stone wall, and two of the creatures were tearing into a corpse that was already unrecognizable, given how savagely it had been dismembered. Again, Terry screamed, far beyond the use of words now, as he gave himself over to the rage that boiled within him. Everyone who died tonight because of these things would be on his head, and here already were two. He had to kill these things, had to finish what he'd started before too many others paid the price for his impulsive need to keep himself from discovery. The monsters turned, and one of them leapt at him, while the other ran. The leaper reached him first, and met a swing so savage that it was practically cut in two. Terry felt hot pain blossom in his side, but ignored it as he lifted the sword high with his follow-through from the first strike and brought it down so violently on the second monster that its skull shattered.
"Terry, two more, left!"
Snarling with animal hatred, he turned and readied himself to swing again as lightning reached across the courtyard like the finger of God to smite one of the creatures. It spasmed and exploded into a rain of gore. Shai's second bolt was much more powerful than the first had been, and the flash left after images bright in Terry's eyes as the boom of thunder smote his ears.
"There's another one. Keep your shit together, T-Mac."
Unable to see much of anything but the bolt of blazing purple left in his eyes, he swung blindly and missed. The thing howled gleefully as it smashed into him, carrying him off his feet to slam with a grunt and the snap of bones onto the cobblestone street. It wound up on top of him, and instinct took over as he smashed blindly at a face he couldn't see with his left. His right arm wasn't working anymore, and the pain in his shoulder told him where the sound of breaking bones had come from. Pain erupted in his left hand as he inadvertently impaled it on a forest of teeth, and he screamed as he felt claws tearing at his chest. Then the weight of the creature was gone, leaving him splayed out on the ground, gasping for breath. His ears were still ringing from the thunder, his vision still blotted with purple from the lightning blast, and though he tried to get his feet under him, He barely managed to roll to his hands and knees before the combined pain from his injuries ripped his conscious mind to shreds. The last thing he felt was the heavy thump as his forehead hit the pavement. Chapter 16. Rapid Recovery. He's coming around.
Is he?
Terry opened his eyes. The first thing he saw was Lena's bust. It took real effort to force his eyes further up to see her concerned expression as she watched him. He shifted, thinking to sit up, but as soon as he did, shards of agony shot through his shoulders to explode in blooms of pain that settled in his chest and side.
Ow!
He gave up any thought of moving and lay still as Shy entered his field of view.
Thank the powers, she murmured. We were beginning to wonder if you would wake up at all.
Huh?
Terry's throat felt parched, and he touched his tongue to his lips as he worked his throat, but it remained dry. His voice was scratchy as he asked,
How long have I been out?
Almost a full day, Lena replied. Lucky that Mama Moo and I found you two and we did. I brought you back here and she's given us a room. You need to drink.
You found us?
He didn't get to ask anything else, and his view of the world was practically eclipsed as Lena dipped her shoulders and pressed one of her breasts to his lips. He hesitated for a long moment, but gave in to his thirst. He'd been too embarrassed too often of late to give a shit about it now. He rolled his tongue around her nipple to center it, and suckled with a weary sort of resignation that quickly turned to hungry eagerness as Lena sighed and the first splash of her flavor crossed his parched throat. As he drank shamelessly from Lena, Shy's voice floated down to him from somewhere outside the orbit of the breast that was at least 90% of his focus.
Mama Moo called Lena down from her room when we crashed through the common area, and they chased us. Lena arrived in time to kill the monster that was on you. It was a close thing, T. We were very, very lucky it was the last of the zone beasts in the area.
Oomph.
Terry shifted his left hand and pressed Lena back enough to get a breath, but as he did, he noticed that his left hand was a mess of blood and torn flesh.
That looks like it should hurt. Why doesn't it?
Lena looked down at him with concern as he turned his broken hand, looking at the palm, then the back. Lacerations covered it, but they weren't bleeding and he felt no pain.
What the?
His focus narrowed and his eyes widened. His wounds began to close while he watched. He felt as though he were viewing a time lapse. His fingers tingled, and he felt heat radiating from his hand, but after less than a minute, the last of the cuts closed completely. Terry flexed his hand, then clenched his fist.
It's healed? Is this real?
It's real, T. Lena's milk, along with the bond you share with her, have apparently given you, what do you call them? Witchy powers?
Shy smirked as she looked down at him, and his eyes flicked from his hand to her and back again. He shifted, and though his shoulder popped rather loudly, he felt no pain when he sat up.
But I don't believe shit like this.
He rolled his shoulder, searching for pain in the break that he knew was there, but everything worked perfectly.
You healed a little bit on your own, Lena said, and the edge in her voice caught his attention and held it as he looked at her.
She had both her arms wrapped around her naked chest as she looked at him, and a few drops of her milk pearled at the tip of each nipple. She gave off the simultaneous impressions of incredible eroticism and terrible vulnerability.
The bleeding stopped, but then you didn't wake up. We were talking about getting a healer for you, but I don't yet have the money I'd make selling the milk you gave me. All that we got this morning was taken as a payment for certification.
She spat the word, telling him with crystal clarity that she considered it extortion.
I still have to go to the tax office to get a permit, but that also costs more than I can afford. Shy told me, though, that it was my milk that tipped off the locutor that you were here. I didn't want to risk leaving you, boss. We were so afraid.
Shy put her hand on Lena's shoulder, and her smile was gone.
You were reckless, T. And wonderful. You were right, you know. Going to try and save people, I should have tried. Even still, I know what happened. It's my fault you fell.
Terry opened his mouth, then closed it again, the ready lie on his lips left unspoken. He'd been about to deny it had been her fault, but he'd been blinded and deafened by her thunderbolt just before he'd gone down. He'd missed his swing as a consequence.
She'd know. She spoke inside my mind when we were connected. She'd know if I lied to her. But I don't have to lie. Not this time, not to her. If you insist on taking blame, that's fine, he said quietly.
Lena's indrawn breath was loud in the sudden deathly stillness that settled through the room. Terry met Shy's gaze and said simply,
You are responsible for me. Tomorrow we'll go looking for that young lady we saved, and you can tell her that her life is your fault too, because it is.
You saved her?
You helped me, Shy. All I did was shout at the damn thing. You struck first. You stood up when you were called. So, yeah, everything that happened from the time you let me attack the locutor is your fault. You don't get to pick and choose which parts you take responsibility for. That's not fair to either of us.
Shy glared at him, and tears shimmered in her eyes. I don't want to see you hurt. He shrugged.
Get better, then. I will. I swung that sword like a baseball bat. I don't know what I'm doing, but somehow we made it work. I'm going to find someone who can teach me how to use a sword or a spear or something. You wanted this, Shy. You wanted to fight, so we're fighting. Neither of us is very good. We both need to improve.
He offered her a smile and reached out, caught her by the arm, and pulled her close. She tumbled into his arms, as though she'd lost her strength, and he pressed her to his chest and kissed her forehead.
We'll get better together. I forgive you for your mistakes, and I'm sorry for mine. But fighting for people who can't fight for themselves is never a mistake, no matter how poorly done. No one can ever give me credit for what happened without including the both of you.
Can't say I did much, boss.
Lena was pouting a bit, and she seemed to be hugging herself as much as anything as she sat on the bed. He chuckled and said,
Lena, I'd be dead if it weren't for you. We all know that. Own it.
She gave him a quirky half-smile, then lifted an eyebrow as she said,
So, if I'm a hero, I should get a reward, right?
Terry laughed at that, and was happy to hear Shy chuckling along with him. The dryad leaned up and he kissed her, then looked up at Lena as he said,
Did you have something in mind?
Lena gave herself a squeeze, and milk dribbled from her nipples as she said,
I am a bit sore. I could use some more help with that, and then we'll see.
I could use some help with that, too,
Terry said, chuckling as he turned Shy in his arms and held her up like a shield he could hide behind.
Lucky I have some.
Lena started chuckling along with him as Shy's eyes widened.
You know I'm a plant, right? I don't do milk.
Is that logic?
Terry asked teasingly as he passed Shy off to Lena, who happily wrapped her arms around the weakly struggling woman and pulled her close.
That sounded logical to me. I'd normally be open to that, but I just drank some of that milk and healed like a fucking mutant, so logic isn't exactly getting top billing around here right now.
But it'd be wasted on me.
Shy sounded more hesitant than opposed, and Lena scoffed and pressed Shy's face shamelessly against one of her full breasts, as she said,
Feeding my family is never a waste. Ah, mmm.
Lena's eyes glittered as she turned them on Terry, but he didn't need any additional urging. He leaned into her and took the proffered nipple between his lips, tasting once more the fluid rush of her milk.
The more I drink of this, the more I like it. I wonder if it's addicting.
He suspected it was, but for the first time in his life, the thought didn't repel him. He could think of worse fates than being addicted to a lover. He felt Lena's free arm wrap around him, and she effortlessly supported them both while they drank from her. Terry watched as her eyes grew heavy-lidded and her breathing deepened. Shy seemed to have gotten over her reservations rather quickly, and as she drank, it quickly became obvious that whatever it was that Lena had gotten from him, it wasn't reserved for him. The glow in Shy's eyes brightened noticeably, and the wood grain of her skin seemed to darken as he watched, the whorls and subtle patterns growing more pronounced by the second. Once he drank his fill, he took his time licking Lena clean. Shy touched the corners of her mouth with a finger after she finished. She smirked as she said, "I admit, I did not expect that." She leaned up and gave a surprised Lena a deep kiss before adding, "I do hope you meant what you said about feeding us, love. I haven't felt this vibrant in a century."
I wonder if vibrant means horny, because that's definitely what she looks like at the moment.
Terry watched as Shy made Lena shiver, as she trailed kisses over her throat. He could feel the heat rolling off her as she shifted to straddle his chest, her naked sex glistening as she leaned forward to press herself into Lena. He slid hands over her ass and was rewarded by a low moan and a not-so-subtle shift as she slid herself back toward his face. On the one hand, that eclipsed what he could see of what she was doing with Lena, but on the other, it gave him something even more entertaining to occupy his attention. He kissed her inner thighs and inhaled deeply, taking in the uniquely citrus aroma of her sex, as his hands worked over ripe ass cheeks, fingers sinking into warm, pliant flesh, as his tongue teased through the folds of her labia. Her sex twitched under his tongue, and he bathed it with sensual attention, taking his time. He shifted first one arm, then the other under her hips, and wrapped her up, spreading her ass and giving himself deeper access as he pressed his tongue into her body. She shuddered and let out a needy sound. He heard Lena ask,
"Oh, wow, is he?"
He is.
Conversation stalled as the participants found more interesting things to do. Terry groaned as Lena began grinding against his shaft, making it obvious that if she'd had any clothes on at any point, they'd been dismissed with prejudice by now. He made it his business to taste every inch of Shy's slit, chasing her shivers and sighs with a nimble tongue as he spread her with his hands, keeping her open to his every inclination. Lena had never struck him as the patient sort, and a half-second after he felt her fingers caressing the head of his shaft, she lifted it and set it against herself. She rolled her hips and dropped all the way down, moaning brokenly as she did so. Terry felt the wet heat of her snug sex clenching around him, and upped his own game with Shy, sinking a finger into her. Then, too, as he settled his lips around the apex of her sex, and began rolling his tongue around and around the hard, throbbing button he found there. Lena didn't ride so much as grind, and the feel of her ass tightening against his thighs had him straining upward against her, rolling his hips in counterpoint as his tongue circled, stroked, and teased the pleasure out of Shy. She was leaning forward, desperately clutching Lena's shoulders, as she buried her face in the much larger woman's pillowy chest. He felt Shy tightening up on his fingers and focused on the tongue play that had done it, keeping it steady, forcing her orgasm to come to him. He didn't have long to wait. Shy moaned brokenly into Lena's tits as she shuddered and came, her snug channel flexing powerfully against his fingers. He eased the attentions of his tongue, helping her ride her pleasures as far as they would take her. When he slipped his fingers out of her and replaced them with his tongue, teasing the proofs of her pleasure from her, she squeaked and shivered, clutching tight to Lena as the larger woman continued her own pleasurable ride. Shai slid off him and turned, pressing her chest to his as she kissed him passionately. Lena's shadow fell across them both as she set her hands to either side of his head, riding him with more urgency as the bed began creaking in protest.
"You're bigger than you have any right to be, boss. Fuck, this is so good."
Shai broke her kiss and leaned away, barely avoiding Lena's breasts as they swayed over them both. She gave him an impish grin and set a hand to the side of her mouth as she stage whispered,
"I think she just called you short."
Lena's eyes widened, and Terry clamped his mouth shut as he tried not to laugh. He'd known exactly what Lena meant and how she'd intended it to sound. Shai knew, too. He was sure of it.
"You really are a shit-stirrer, you know that?"
Shai's eyes shifted just enough to let him know that she'd caught his thought, and she winked as her tongue peeked out from between smiling lips. Lena grumbled,
"Hush, you."
Shai squeaked as the minotress corralled her and put her on her back next to Terry, leaning down and pinning them both effortlessly with her size.
"If you think his tongue was impressive, you've got some things left to learn about Torin, Shai. But for now, you get to lay there and watch me have fun with my man."
"Our man," Shai smirked. The minotress chuckled richly as she said,
"More mine than yours at the moment."
Lena shifted her hips and rolled them, letting out a low of pleasure. Terry grunted and reached down, squeezing her ass as he pressed his body up against hers. His eyes met hers, heavy-lidded and pleasure-drunk, and his grip on her tightened a bit, lifting her hips just enough for him to establish his own rhythm beneath her. His feet spread out on the bed to give him the leverage he needed. Between the two of them, he was practically in a haze of lust and wanted desperately to finish. Shai gave him a mischievous glance and dropped a hand between them. Lena's eyes widened as the dryad's palm settled over the mound of her sex, fingers splitting around his pistoning shaft.
"She's so wet. Fuck her hard, T. I'll make sure she doesn't fall behind."
Her eyes glimmered lustily as she grinned up at Lena. Terry could feel her doing something, but he couldn't quite tell what as he moved. Whatever it was had Lena trembling, a shiver that made her quake as she held still on all fours while he worked furiously from underneath her. A need filled him, tightening the muscles of his abdomen as each breath hissed through clenched teeth. He couldn't wait anymore. Lena's sex abruptly clenched around him, and her hips dropped, pinning him to the bed as she lowed aggressively, pressing herself down on him as she came. The sudden move and intense pressure finished him, and he gasped, one arm sliding up to keep her close as his shaft pulsed, filling her with the proofs of his own pleasure. His breath hissed through clenched teeth, and he didn't have the presence of mind to draw another as the wash of sensation flooded through him and left him with that strangely unique sensation of being at once drained and sated. Lena settled on him, and as that small piece of him that kept track of the details worried she might crush him, it occurred to him that while he could feel the weight of her, it didn't bother him.
"She must weigh close to 300 pounds. Why don't I feel that?"
He dismissed the thought as uncharitable and kissed Lena's cheek as she lay against him. Her horns made it impossible for her to turn her head to the side from this position and reminded him all at once that she wasn't human. The dysphoria didn't attack him, though, and he lifted a hand to explore her ears, fingertips brushing the short, soft fur that covered their broad shells. She was too tall to nestle her head in his shoulder, and her breasts ballooned over his chest until he could couch his chin on them as she made a soft sound, and her ear flickered against his fingers as she said, "That tickles, boss." She opened her eyes and looked down at him fondly. "You know, I always wanted to be able to lay on my man like this. I never thought I'd be able to do it with someone who wasn't a minotaur, but I can tell you're not bothered by me being so." He smiled and spoke softly to take any possible sting out of the words as he said,
"So you think I'm short and small?"
Shy sputtered and started laughing as Lena gave him a sulky frown.
"Two of a kind you are," she said petulantly.
"I'm going to tease you whenever I think you're getting down on yourself. I told you I think you're sexy, Lena. You think someone like Mama Moo could ever turn my eyes away from you?"
She thought about that, and he could see her smile coming back. Shy leaned up on her elbow and in under Lena's horn to kiss her cheek, as she said,
"Looks like we both got lucky, Lena. Me that I was found at all, and you found someone like T."
"She didn't get lucky,"
Terry said, cupping Lena's cheek and gathering all her attention as he looked her in the eye.
"She went after what she wanted, just like I do. I'll happily work to make sure she gets everything she deserves."
"Huh. I'd be jealous if you hadn't already given me so much, T."
Shy folded her arms as she lay next to him, resting her cheek on his shoulder as she looked lazily over at them, her luminous eyes glimmering.
"I'll admit she's growing on me, too. I wonder if I shouldn't try to put on a bit more muscle."
He quirked a brow and smirked as he said,
"Might help. Something tells me there's a lot of travel in our future."
"Ha, we'll get her a horse to ride or something,"
Lena said, before she surprised Terry with a long, slow lick that started at the base of his neck and went all the way up the side of his face. The attention was so unexpected, it left him blinking.
"Sorry."
Lena didn't look the least bit sorry.
"It's a Tauren thing."
He started chuckling and looked over at Shy as he said,
"You're in for a rough time if she puts that tongue to more intimate use."
Shy's eyes brightened a bit as she sighed.
"Something to look forward to. Tonight, though, I hope you two don't mind if I sleep in here with you. I usually put down roots and drink at night, but thanks to Lena, I'm..."
She yawned hugely and snuggled in closer to the two of them.
"Full."
Chapter 17. Table at Mama Moo's. Terry toyed with his mug, watching from a seat at a back corner table as Mama Moo and her staff bustled around her tavern. The room felt close, to the point of being claustrophobic to him, but no one else seemed to mind. His eyes flickered from one strange person to the next, taking in the seemingly endless variety. Two minotaurs were drinking boisterously with a female, who looked like nothing so much as an insect hybrid. She had chitin shoulders and armored limbs, but her face, midriff, and chest were flesh and exaggeratedly feminine. She wore gauzy silks, and there was a sword strapped to her waist. Her eyes were multifaceted, though, and reflected the light with a golden sheen. At the table next to them were a group of canines. They were entirely furred, and their faces had muzzles instead of chin and cheeks. Yet they spoke seemingly without a problem, and wore clothing that suggested, to his untrained eye at least, that they were well off. Perhaps merchants from the ramshackle bazaar outside. Another table hosted a man who reminded Terry of nothing so much as the walrus from Alice in Wonderland, complete with sweeping mustachios and a vast waistcoat that strained to contain his girth as he laughed along with a slim fellow with sleek brown fur and a body reminiscent of an otter, wearing a loose-fitting cotton shirt and dungarees. When people walked by, tails in a dizzying variety followed after them. and the smells and musk of so many were practically overwhelming in the confined space.
It's all right. They can't see me. They don't notice me.